Damian Lillard's wave was the very first episode of this podcast, and I still maintain it is the most emblematic moment of this show. Nothing is more first ballot Hall of Fame than that moment. Incredible shot, real stakes, great performance on top of that, and then ridiculously funny, super entertaining on top of that, after that, full of attitude, full of real competitive animosity, staying power, great call, great broadcast. It just has it all. But did you know, after Dame and the Blazers beat Oklahoma City, they had to continue into the playoffs and play more basketball? I gotta be honest, I didn't pay much attention after that, in part because I never really believed in the Blazers and I didn't think they could win a title, and in part because I'm basically a jerk, and if it's not the Lakers, then I just don't care, and then I believe you can't win because you're not the Lakers. It's a whole thing. I gotta be honest. But Dame and the Blazers, they did have more basketball to play. And our guest today, who you either already know and love, or I'm so excited for you to meet here, was very, very excited to pick this moment, their second round playoff matchup. That's what she wanted to talk about. And her excitement made me excited. So is this the best playoff round you don't remember? Or are you a nice and a good person who loves all high level basketball because you're not a jerk? That and more next on First Ballot. Welcome to First Ballot, the podcast that celebrates the moments in sports that really matter and inducts them into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. This isn't about just great sports moments. It's about the moments that matter. For example, think about basketball cards. Was Skybox the greatest sports card company of all time? No, but did they matter? You fucking bet they did. That's why this show has been called the Skybox of podcasts. Who called it that? I did. And I'm the only person who's ever said that. I am your host, Neil, a.k.a. Gotham Coach, a.k.a. the Glass City Cobra, the long-lost Gasol brother, the Reebok pump god, the podcast Jordan Clarkson, half Filipino, half the Jewish half of Jordan Farmar. As you know, I'm not always right, but I'm never, ever wrong. Coming to you live from the Shaquille O'Neal Office Depot, big and tall, executive suite, desk chair. The First Ballot Hall of Fame podcast is brought to you by All Is Life and the Ball Is Life Podcast Network. Proud to be part of the network. Shout out to all those guys. The 2019 Blazers versus Nuggets second round playoff series. It's fantastic. But is it the best playoff series you never think about? Is it the most underrated series in league history? Is it good enough for the First Ballot Hall of Fame? We have to decide all of that today. And here to do it with me is a writer, producer, editor whose work has been seen all over. But perhaps most importantly, she's the founder and editor-in-chief of the beloved Flagrant magazine. It's the electric, the very funny Ashton Batuso.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Thank
you. Ashton, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy
to be
here.
Can we dive into Flagrant magazine? Can I ask you a bunch of questions about Flagrant?
Yeah. Millions.
Why? So hold on. I want to start at the beginning. How did you guys come together? How did you think to have the idea to start doing this?
Okay. So at the time, I think it was 2019. Honestly, I think it was around this time, around the Blazers Nuggets series time. So my background is in video. Doing the mag was my first sort of foray into magazine work. But I at the time was working for an agency and I was doing sort of ad agency work, and it was the first time I wasn't in sports because I had worked at Pac-12 Network before that.
Right.
So I moved to Denver, worked at an ad agency. I was not feeling particularly inspired. So I was kind of like, what can I do to kill the time, to get that spark back, all of that kind of stuff. So I had this magazine, this, soccer football magazine, because it's British,
right.
Called Season. And I was such a big fan, avid reader of that. And I had loved ESPN magazine as well. Mm. So I was like, what if we did this for basketball? And every my co-founders had, at the time I was in Denver, one of us was in Oakland, one was in New York, and one was in Portland. So I knew them from all different facets of my life, and I had like worked with them or was friends with them in some capacity, but knew their talent, whatever. So kind of pulled all of them together and said, we should do this. We should make this magazine. We kind of didn't think anything of it. We just thought we were doing a fun little thing, and it's really grown into something bigger than just a fun little thing. And I think it's, yeah, thank you. I think it's sort of a difference maker. I think it's, sort of spinning sports media on its head, hopefully a little bit in some ways. Yeah.
How did you decide physical media? Like in this day, I'm curious. I don't mean that to sound judgmental.
Yeah.
I'm curious what your answer is. Why did you decide physical magazine? How did you land that? How did you land on that decision?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think since we have such a high emphasis on art, I think that that makes such a difference, it being in print. I think pictures are, I think we're seeing sort of that resurgence now with film cameras as well, but pictures are just so, photos, physical photos are so fun to look at. So I think that's a big part of it. I think also I'm just, I don't want to say that I don't consume sports media, you know, via viral clips, because I absolutely do. I'm all over Twitter. I'm all over Instagram, all that stuff. But there is something that's just special about holding something in your hand. It's the same reason I don't read books on Kindle. I read, you know, physical books.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just a whole different experience. It sort of subconsciously gets you to slow down for a second a little bit. And, you know, you sit in silence and, you know, do all the things that we should be doing for our health anyways, our health and our mental health. It's just, that's sort of just like a byproduct of that. So I think there's a lot of positives to physical media.
I totally agree. I honestly, when I saw that it started, and you have a brand, that I started seeing seep onto my timeline. And I was like, wait, what is this? I don't know what this is. And it sends you onto this. Well, now I have to research this and who's behind this and how did this get made and where does it start? Can I actually buy this? And then it's me going, oh shit, wait, I could go buy this. I immediately wanted to sort of figure it out. But the first thought I had as I started doing the research was, what kind of maniac in this day and age goes physical media? This is the type of person that I need to know and be connected with, because not only does it speak to sort of a more old fashioned sense, and I mean that, and again, the most complimentary way, but it also makes me go, this seems harder to go make physical media that you're printing out and taking and hoping people sell and support, et cetera, et cetera. It makes it more challenging. And I look at it and go, God damn, that you all got together and decided to do this. And then you didn't just do it once or twice. You continue to do it. And for the quality to be where it's at, I just think it's really impressive. It made me want to have you on the show and meet you, meet the absolute lunatic who decided to do this.
That's so funny you say that, because, well, first of all, thank you for all that. But I also take lunatic as a compliment. But that makes me, that reminds me of a funny story that sort of happened during its inception. I was working away on my laptop watching some kind of, it must have been like March Madness or something. It was a big game though. And a magazine salesperson comes to our door. This is when I was living in Denver, and Tim answers the, my husband answers the door, and this guy's like just yapping his ear off. He's like, I gotta get rid of this. Like, I can just feel him being like, you gotta go. I'm watching like a huge game right now. And after several minutes, he finally gets him out of there and he closes the door and he goes, who even buys a magazine? And I'm like, oh no. I was like, okay, well, I hope someone does. And he's like, oh God, I'm sorry. And of course he's like our biggest supporter now, but it was one of the funniest things ever, because I just could not, I'm like, well, I have to believe that this isn't just that type of magazine and people will buy it. And I think they have. So I think we've done okay. We're in Barnes and Noble's. If you're near Barnes and Noble, go ask for Flagrant, because even if they don't have it, we're in like 90, but even if they don't
That's
have
amazing.
It, then they hear you asking.
You mentioned your husband's name is Tim. Are you married to Timothy Oliphant?
Oh, can you imagine?
No.
I am not. But dare you. My husband was on, he was an extra on an episode of Succession. So it's
amazing.
Close.
Fantastic.
Similar. Yeah.
That's fantastic. What's been the best, this podcast is about moments. What's been the best moment for Flagrant Magazine up until this point? Has there been a moment that you would go, that's the best moment of this entire venture? What is it?
I think probably nothing's going to be able to, well, I shouldn't say nothing, but currently nothing outdoes when Twitter reached out to us for our third issue and said, like, let's make a magazine together. Mm. And basically, you know, they funded and helped us create all of issue three. And it was, that was a unique issue because it was just for women's sports, women's basketball. Usually our issues are very, we're particular about telling all stories of all genders because that's how we feel like you truly uplift and grow women, is if you're telling everyone's story. So this was a unique case, but that's probably our best moment just because we were like, wow, people see this and care about what we're doing and care enough that, you know, they want to be a part of it. And so I'd probably say that's our,
that's
sort
awesome.
Of our one shining moment.
Was that before Elon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I sort of presumed. I can't imagine them.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't.
Heart, what now? But
no, I don't think they would do that now. But it's, yeah, so it, that makes it more special, I guess, huh?
Absolutely. I was going to ask you one other thing before. Oh, can we talk about Caitlin Clark for a moment?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So, I don't want to be this guy because this is a great regret of mine, is that I've never really watched like Cheryl Miller footage. Like I've seen highlights here and there, but I've never like sat down and watched like Cheryl Miller footage, like a Cheryl Miller game. Yeah. I'd say I've done that with Lisa Leslie. Mm-hmm. And I think of Lisa Leslie, I think there's a chance that Lisa Leslie is the best woman to ever play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watch Caitlin Clark, I go, it's got to be her. It's got to be this woman. I'm so excited when I watch her.
Yeah.
I don't want to just do the recency bias thing and be like, no, she's the best. But in my head, it's the way she makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited about her entry into the WNBA. I do wish it were, you talked about bemoaning people, you know, bemoaning was Wemby going to stay in San Antonio. I am now going to follow that up with, I wish she were in New York and not in Indiana. Presumably first pick. Your thoughts on Caitlin Clark. Is she the best you've ever seen? Do you disagree with me? Do you like that she's in Indiana? What are your thoughts on Caitlin?
Yeah, no, I think she is. I it's hard. You'd be really hard pressed to find. I mean, I can't think of a men's college player that I've felt like recently watching her. Like, I can't think of anyone. And I mean, she just got Pistol Pete's record. Like, I don't even know how you could argue against it. And that's not to take away from all the women that came before her that, of course, you know, she wouldn't be here without and all of that. But it doesn't even feel like recency bias because you're right. It's like, it's just the feeling that you have. It's like chills. It's elation. It's like nothing you've seen. I mean, and I love the WNBA. I love New York. I had season tickets last year to the Liberty. But man, watching Caitlin Clark is.
She feels like a rocket. Like imagine, I don't know what the history of NASA. But let's imagine a world where NASA exists, but they've never fired a rocket into outer space, right? So you're looking at the planet and like cars and stuff, but there's never been a rocket that blasted off into outer space. That's what it feels like to me. Like when I watch Caitlin Clark, I go, she's a rocket. There's never been, I've never seen anyone play like her ever. And I just this week DM'd someone about, when was the last college athlete in basketball that you were this excited about watching them play? And I said, I think I have to go all the way back to Melo at Syracuse.
Yeah, I'm really, I don't think anyone comes to mind that quite has the Caitlin Clark effect. Like really, truly. And not that like March doesn't have its fun moments, because I think that's mostly when we find this level of excitement, but it's like she's just been like that all season.
That's right.
Her moments aren't even in March, whereas
that's
everyone else's are in March.
That's
hers
exactly
are just
right.
every game.
Yeah.
So I don't even know.
To make me care about college sports is a feat. To make me care about regular season college sports is something else. We have to dive in and decide whether our moment, the 2019 Blazers-Nuggets second round playoff series, whether that's good enough for the first ballot Hall of Fame. To do that, we have to go through our Hall of Fame credentials. Those are the categories by which we judge all of our moments. Before I even dive into analytics, which is the first category almost always, I want to ask you, you picked this. This is a moment that you picked. Just without going into all of the details that we're going to dive into here in the episode, why did you pick this playoff series to be the moment that we talk about on the show?
I picked this playoff series because nobody's ever talking about the Blazers, first and foremost. Many people are not watching the Blazers.
Right.
Therefore, it's an easy candidate for something that's been overlooked all these years. So, yeah, I think that it has all the makings. It has all the moments. It's maybe not... It's more about the holistic series than it is definitely like any one particular moment. So you have to sort of take it in that sense rather than it's not like, you know, a LeBron chase down block necessarily, but just shift your focus a little and maybe it'll make it.
I can't wait to hear you talk about it more. Well, quickly, let's table set before we dive in. I forgot to do that. What's your favorite sport, your favorite team, and your favorite athlete of all time? That will tell us a lot about you.
So I knew I was going to ask. I knew you were going to ask this, and I felt weird being honest about my favorite sport. But I'm going to be honest because my favorite sport is football, even though I know it's a real curveball. Baseball is not one of my favorites. Yeah, so there you be clear go. About that.
And then what about athlete? You got to pick one athlete. Oh, wait, no. Wait, did you answer favorite team?
Well, am I allowed to say the Beavers, the Oregon State Beavers?
Yeah.
College.
Yes. Okay. It does feel like a cop out. It feels like you're not facing down the decision of having to pick one of the others. It feels like a cop-out, I'm going to be honest, but you are allowed to do it.
Okay, actually, I can give you a hierarchy. It goes everything Oregon State, everything Beavs, then Blazers, then Chiefs for me.
Got it.
And Liberty, though. Liberty might be tied with the Blazers. I don't know, though, because the WNBA is such a different beast. It's like everyone's moving around.
Yes.
So you kind of follow players. I love Skylar Diggins. Okay, anyways, I think that's my final answer. Would be anything Oregon State, every sport, every team. It's the Beavs.
The last part of this, favorite athlete of all time. You have to pick one athlete, any sport, favorite of all time.
I think it probably has to be Dame. Right. I think it has to be Dame.
So were you disappointed when he left? Were you crushed?
Oh, my God. I think I cried several times.
I was going to say, I saw it on your eyes. I saw it in your face as you answered. I'm like, if she's going to somehow try and act and lie and act like she didn't cry in this moment, I just saw on her face that she 100% cried.
I think I could cry right now, actually. I remember reading when he finally broke his silence and he wrote that letter.
Yes.
I was on an airplane, which I'm already like very emotional on airplanes for unknown reasons. I saw it up there and I was like bawling on an airplane. I don't even remember where I was going, somewhere for work. Maybe it was like, was that All-Star or something? I was like bawling just by myself on a plane. Like everyone around me is like, what the fuck is her deal? Wait. And I was like sitting next to a guy who I'd like talked to about basketball and like we knew someone in common and I'm just like, okay, well, now I'm crying in front of this stranger.
So funny. I have a couple follow-ups. One, this isn't a follow-up question. I just want to join you for a moment. My friend George Anagnostakos, who was just on an episode of the show, he loves airports and airplanes and air travel. And I asked him why once, and he said, because it's full of human drama. It's people being reconnected. It's someone being excited about where they're going. But there's like real emotion in every single person has something to do. And I was like, he's so smart and so funny. And when he said that, I was like, you have just single-handedly changed my opinion on airports and flight. So maybe you were emotional maybe you're emotional on airplanes because of that exact fact.
Yes, maybe you're right.
The second thing that I wanted to ask you about is I was poking around your social media. You had a video of Dame on the plane with the Blazers. It's during a blizzard. And he wrote a rap song and performed it.
Yeah.
And I wondered in watching. Now, I don't know anything about rap music. I mean, I enjoy rap music, but I don't know anything about it. I would never, you know, there's a lot of things I am an expert in. For example, basketball. I'm never wrong. But rap music, I literally know nothing. As I watch Dame rapping and I'm watching his teammates sit around him, I thought to myself, if I was a teammate that did not like his rapping, would I want to die in this moment? And then also, I'd never say it out loud. Like, you're just stuck. What are your thoughts on being a rap fan that plays with Damian Lillard who maybe doesn't like his rapping?
Yeah, and I actually think, if I recall, you kind of saw that in the video a little bit. I think Shaden was like,
what's going on?
That's it's tough to put yourself out there in that way. It's brave of you to do.
It is.
Would I be brave enough to do that? I don't think so.
That's right.
You know, I was, you know, in choir all of my life and a trained singer, and I don't think I would be singing in front of people in that way, but he did put out music, so there's that. Yeah, I don't know. That's a very it's a sticky situation. You never tell them. You can't tell them.
Take it to your grave.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Sharp. I love that you spotted him in that video because it is a very much. Also, I like anything as now an old man. I like it anytime a young person completely dismisses me as an old person that doesn't.
Yes.
I do find that very funny. I love it when a young person has the gall, the audacity to do that to me. So I do like seeing Shaden Sharp sort of, demure in that moment because he's perhaps a little embarrassed. But yes, if you're Shane, you take it to your grave. Oh, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was a great freestyle. It was the best. I'd buy that.
Yeah.
And you're the best. And then you just go whatever next city is. And play
that was fire. All my friends want it too. We got to get that mixtape, bro.
See, that's why you guys know I'm not young because I didn't do the that's fire. That's exactly what people say. All right, here we go. We're going to first credentials, analytics. These are the numbers. These are some of the numbers behind this gigantic series. First off, Portland was the 3 seed. Denver was the 2. Over the entire 7-game series, Jokic averaged 27 points, 14 boards, almost 8 assists. My God. 1 steal and 1 block over, again, the full 7 games. 27, 14, 8, 1, and 1. Dame and CJ together averaged 51.5 points, 11 boards, 9 assists, and almost 3 steals per game. So the stars for sure played really well. The series was tied 1-1. They split the first 2 games. And then this third game that we're going to talk about was 4 overtimes in game 3. There had only been 1 4 overtime game in league history. It was 1953, Philadelphia and some team in Boston. What are your thoughts on the 4 overtime game? Can we start on the 4 overtime game?
Yeah. I mean, it's always a really scary moment to see your team go into 3 or 4 overtimes because if it doesn't pan out, it's like, what have I done? What have I just spent my time doing?
Right. There's an existential point where you start going, God, I've got so much wrapped up in this. What am I doing?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Then you're like, it's bigger than sports and you're like, huh, I care about these guys putting a ball in a hole. And it's, you can spiral pretty quickly.
Yes.
So that was definitely part of it, as it always is, in multiple overtimes. Just to kind of set the stage a little bit, it was a strange time, I think, in Denver's sort of, organization, because I lived in Denver at the time, coincidentally. So I was actually at many of these games.
Got it.
And they did not really care. They were not interested. Denver as a city is now, I think, because they have to be. But at the time, they could not have cared less about basketball.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it was like you never really felt – there was no hype around them, even though, you know, they're the 2 seed. They have Jokic. This was sort of not the beginning of Jokic, but this is when he was taking off. And there was a level of faith that I say this now. I'm sure this wasn't true, but it feels like I felt like we have to win this. We're going to win this.
Yeah.
Rather than my usual approach, which is general pessimism and just setting myself up for the worst possible scenario.
Right.
But it also felt like when you have Dame, like anything's possible.
Yes.
So for me, I was like, we're going to win this game.
Now, as a Blazers fan, do you, and I like to do this sometimes, who do you remember playing really well in that four overtime game? Is there someone that sticks out as, oh man, this guy was killing us and I hated him? Like, I now watch Wemby and I now watch the Denver Nuggets. Surprise, surprise. I watch both of them and there's a real genuine hate that is bubbling up in me. And I say that as a Laker fan. And it's honestly the...
Wait, you hate Wemby?
Yes. But because he doesn't play for the Lakers. That's what it's about.
Okay.
When I hate a player and it's real, it's because I'm devastated that he doesn't play for my team. I hated Larry Bird. I hated Michael Jordan. That's real hate. I hated those guys. There are guys that I go, I don't like this guy. I don't watch him. I don't care about him, whatever. But when I hate you, it's because you do not play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Wemby's around there. The Nuggets, I feel the same way about. Is there, as you think back to that four overtime game, is there someone that you think of and go, God, this guy was cooking us? Or conversely, was there a guy on the Blazers that you go, this person really stuck out, their performance from this four overtime game?
I think that he wasn't necessarily cooking us, but I recall Mason Plumlee, who was a Blazer before this, was having maybe an okay game, and he never really did that for us, and I think that bothered me. And then, I don't know if it was this specific game, but definitely the series. Oh, man, I became Jamal Murray's biggest hater.
Yes. Yes.
Couldn't stand him. Could not stand him.
Right?
Yeah, still, I'm just like, I don't like him, and I don't have a great reason. I'm just like, nope. I don't like him.
I very bravely on this podcast went out on a limb. This speaks to who I am as a man.
Mm-hmm.
I very bravely went out on a limb and said that I believe Jamal Murray was better than Devin Booker. The guest that I shared that with, Claire DeLune, labeled me a maniac. She thought that I was wrong in saying that, but I said, no, I believe that this to be the case. And now I feel even better about it. I think Jamal Murray is very, very good at basketball, and I think he's better than Devin Booker. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world by any stretch of the imagination. I've said many crazier things than that. I'm Russell Westbrook's biggest fan and supporter. So yes. I've said some crazy things during his tenure over there with you guys.
Yeah. Jamal Murray in this game played 55 minutes. This is in the four overtime game. Played 55 minutes, was 14 of 32 from the field. 4 of 12 from deep, not great from the 3-point line. 2 of 2 from the line. 9
I think
rebounds,
it was the. I want to say it was game 7 that.
Points from Jamal Murray.
Oh, okay. Well, that was
pretty good.
It was either 5 or 7 that I really was. Maybe 6 or 7. I was really pissed at him towards the end. I was just like, "We're done." He did this thing where he licked his fingers, and I was like, "You just touched the ball. You touched the filthiest thing in this arena,
and
you licked your fingers," and he did like a, and I was like, "You're disgusting. I can't."
Juancho Hernan Gomez did not play in this four overtime game, which I think does hurt it. I think if Juancho had played, I'd like the game a little bit more. He didn't play in this game. That's, you know, that's something we have to live with. In the four overtime game, just to let you know how the Blazers did, CJ had 41, 16 of 39 from the field. Dame had 28. And then Rodney Hood off the bench. I was like trying to think, was this the Rodney Hood playoff series where he sort of took off and played really well? And I think it was, right?
Mm-hmm. It was. I think he got, I want to say in this, no, it wasn't this game. So in this game, he had the game-winning shot.
Yes.
And then in, I don't know if it was, it must have been like game, if this is 3, it must have been like 5. He got hurt. I think he like something happened to his knee. He ran into Torrey Craig, like came up behind him or something, and he really hurt his knee. And he was like rolling around on the court in pain. And I think he didn't play then after that. But this game was a good Rodney Hood game. But I think that's, I'm glad you mentioned CJ, because that's another reason why I love this series so much. I'm such a big CJ gal, and I think he was always underappreciated. He had an incredible series. I mean. Yeah. He went crazy. Pretty much, it felt like every game. And Dame didn't have the best best series. So,
do you? This is jumping forward a little bit in my own timeline, but we'll get back to it. We'll get back to our analytics here. Burning question: is this the best moment of CJ McCollum's career? Is this series the best moment?
Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah, it's got to be.
That to me is additive. When you have a guy who's beloved like CJ was, mm-hmm. and you can go this, you could make the argument that maybe this is the best basketball CJ McCollum ever played in his career. Then I mm-hmm. think it helps a series like this, and I think it helps its candidacy for the first Ball Hall of Fame. Just something to think about.
Yes.
Keep going. Okay. Let's talk about Game 7 and CJ's Game 7 in specific. CJ McCollum, mm-hmm. who we just talked about, 17 of 29 in 45 minutes. That's 58% from the field. Strangely, only took 3 three-pointers. I know he's not like the best three-point shooter of all time, but to only take 3 is pretty wild. Only took 2 free throws. He shot the ball 29 times. And he only went to the line and took 2 free throws.
So wild.
I'd be going crazy if I was a Blazers fan. Anyways, 9 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 37 points total in a Game 7. Talk about CJ's Game 7.
So I was at that game. And
you were there.
I was there at that game. Gosh. And tickets were so cheap because, like I said, Denver did not care about basketball. It was awesome. I think we paid $150 for like – really close.
Wow. Game 7?
It was insane.
Oh my God.
I mean, CJ was just like, he was everywhere. He was just driving. He was, you know, his little mid-rangies, all like constant. I mean, he was just going up and he was hitting everything. Like you said, it wasn't from 3. It was like, he's like having to be physical and get in there and he's like fighting for buckets. These are not easy Dame time, not easy, LOL. But these are not, you know, outside shots that you're going to make because you're a good shooter. He was like fighting for buckets. So that was something that was, I think, made it extra stressful, but probably extra fun in many ways too. It was wild.
You talked about crying on a plane when Dame left. Were you equal? I just wanted to bring that back up. Were you equally sad when CJ got traded? He got traded, right?
Also cried about that, but I cried about CJ probably for a couple of days. Dame was like, it was like actual, like deep seated depression for like a month. Wow. I couldn't really talk about it. It was like dark, but I definitely cried about CJ.
Now, when CJ left, did you not think flip over the sand timer on Dame? Because that's what I thought. When CJ left, I thought to me, this is the beginning of the end. This is how you know he's leaving because they're abandoning this thing.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like if I have a generational talent, that man stays on my team. Yep. That's just I'm doing anything I can to keep him. Yep. I don't care how old he is.
Yeah.
He can have anything he wants and he will be here forever. So for me, I'm like, we're not going to bail on that.
Do you know how I know that that's what that you would say that? Do you know how I knew that? Because you started a magazine in 2019. And I don't, it's that kind of like devotion to the way you think something should be done that mm-hmm. makes me go, of course you'd want this guy. This should be a signature. When you think the Blazers, you should think of Dame. Do you want Dame to win a title in Milwaukee, or would you prefer, if you be honest here, would you prefer mm-hmm. that he never win? Because if he wins in Milwaukee, is there a world where lots of people like Pau Gasol, people will always think of Pau Gasol as a Laker forever. Mm-hmm. And he played on a bunch of other teams, but he'll always be a Laker. Thank God, by the way, my little Spanish dove, Pau Gasol, one of my favorite players of all time. I'm a long lost Gasol brother. Do you want Dame to win a title in Milwaukee?
I do. I would love Dame to win a title because he put in that loyalty. He did everything he could, in my opinion. I know that things were... I go back to him. Oh my God. I go back to him saying, I'm sorry that I broke your heart and mine.
Oh.
To us.
She's getting,
and I
oh, she's
like
getting misty.
I could literally cry right now. But I just like he still feels all of that for us. And so I'm like, do your thing, win a ring. I'm gonna root for you. Lovely. And I hope he comes back and retires a Blazer, even if it's for one day or whatever.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk eye test. It's what did we see in this moment? What did we see in the footage that might make this series extra special and give it a real chance to get into the first Ball Hall of Fame? Is there anything that you saw in this game that we've not yet talked about that makes this series special?
I mean, I guess it's got to be, it has to be Evan Turner flipping off Michael Porter Jr. then.
Wait, so this came to me in the For the record, this came to me through Jessica, my producer, that there was this moment in this where Evan Turner flips off Michael Porter Jr. I have a hard time not, I don't mean to do this, but I'm not one with Michael Porter Jr. seemingly what his politics are. I don't mean to bring that up here. I hate Michael Porter Jr. because he destroys the Lakers, and I loathe him for that. I loathe him for that. So the idea of someone flipping off Michael Porter Jr. got me very, very excited. And I thought this is going to be a lot of fun to talk about. But I've never seen it. Tell me about this moment.
Okay. Well, I need to show you the photo because
please, I'm excited.
It's just like this moment in game six where something happened. We won and something, I don't know that we ever found out exactly what happened, but it was sort of like, it wasn't like a bench clearing moment because I think we were already like post game to some extent, but there are several of them. It's like Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, and Seth Curry sort of like all step to them. And they're like, what did you just say? And Evan Turner is just like, throws it up at him. And it's just so funny. Like, it, you know, people made shirts. People made mugs. I mean, people just had the time of their lives with it. Twitter was going wild. I know. Yeah, I'll send you the photo at least because it's so good.
It really is. Anytime I don't know a moment in the NBA, particularly a ripe, juicy moment like this that I don't know of and have never seen or heard, it 100% corresponds to whether the Lakers were good or not. If the Lakers are not good, then I hate the NBA. I think it's stupid that you're all watching it and you're as involved as you are. I think it's a little immature. I'm a little bit above it. And so I didn't. That's why I don't know this
of
moment.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Your support, we can all relate to that.
Rob, play my camera on clip here. You're mad. Thank you very much. I like it when someone's mad. Evan Turner clearly mad here at Michael Porter Jr. Is it double birds or is it just one single middle finger?
It's one, but it's a powerful one. You know, it's authoritative.
Is the thumb out or is the thumb in?
Let me find the photo of it. I think the thumb's in. Which
That's fine.
It's kind of a. I don't see that very often.
I do think there's extra attitude if the thumb is out.
I agree.
A little bit more, junkyard dog. It feels a little bit more from the streets. I really detest you when my thumb is out. I don't even have the care to tuck it in. But a tucked in thumb could be visually very, very funny. I can't wait to see the picture.
Yeah. I think it is funnier visually with the tucked in because it's not quite. It's like, what's happening there? I'll make sure to send you that link because it's good. Good stuff.
You guys have gorgeous branding for Flagrant Magazine. You have gorgeous branding. The layouts are gorgeous. Clearly a strong emphasis on visuals at Flagrant Mag, which I appreciate. Yeah. I'd like to talk to you about branding and design. I usually save this question for later in the show, but I was excited to ask you about it now. Do you have a favorite sports branding? We're talking about colors, the color palette. We're talking about logos, alt logos. We're talking about helmets or baseball caps, jerseys. What is the best sports branding period across any sport? Do you have a choice?
I have two.
Oh my God.
I would say, this pains me to say because as a Chiefs fan, it's a bummer, but the San Diego Chargers, the light blues.
Yes.
Their logo is so classic. Their helmets are so classic.
Yes.
They also do such an amazing job on social. I think the Chargers are nailing it. Unfortunately, doesn't really happen on the field for them, but that's fine. It's fine for me. And the Indiana Fever, the uniforms are just so, I love a classic look, you know?
I'm Googling them right now because I don't know that I can even envision them, which I feel stupid about saying.
The whites and the blues are both good. But especially the shorts. I've wanted a pair of Indiana Fever shorts, and I just haven't pulled the trigger. But it's just like the classic sort of navy, bright red, and the yellow or gold, whichever it is. I'm not sure. And I think their logo's nice, too. It's sort of like a scripty.
I like their logo, yes. It's got like a 70s feel to it.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite one?
I do, of course. If you've listened to this show, you know my answer. It is the Miami Dolphins. That fucking dolphin.
That rocks,
I mean, it rocks, right?
Yeah. Dolphins is a great pick,
It's as good as it gets. I mean, those throwback helmets with the gray mask and the teal. Yeah. I can't get over how much those colors just look and feel like Miami, which is such a huge important part of my answer. Anyways, you were wrong and I am right. It's the Miami Dolphins.
Fair. Is the right answer. Yeah, that's fair. I'm surprised you didn't say the Lakers, because the Lakers and the Sparks both have that color scheme is.
It drives me nuts when I was just watching the Lakers and maybe the Oklahoma City Thunder recently. I loathe the Oklahoma City Thunder jerseys. I literally could vomit looking at them.
Yeah.
And then I look at the Lakers and go, why on God's green earth would you fuck with the color of the yellow that we use in the uniforms? I don't get it. I'll never get it. And so maybe I don't say the Lakers because I'm a little disappointed in what they're doing.
I get that.
Also, I don't wear purple.
Oh. Is that a rule you live by?
No, you know, I'll go even further. I don't wear yellow either.
Wow.
Here's the thing. I have no fashion sense. You can probably see that by looking at me. I wear a ton of, this is a very funny story. I wear a black t-shirt and gray slacks almost every single day.
Love that.
Plain black classic t-shirt, gray slacks, and then some, you know, fantastic sneaker, I'm sure. And one day I went to work and I had worn a white shirt, and I walked in and a guy I was working with went, oh, away jersey? Which I howled at. It was devastating to me. I have no fashion sense, but the point is I won't wear purple and yellow, not out of any real reason other than I just think I look bad in them. So I just want to be clear. I do love the Lakers branding, but I just don't wear them. So it's not at the front of my mind.
Okay. I guess I'll allow that.
Do you have here's the next question. I thought of this in the car when I was driving. I got very excited. I told my wife, can you text this to me? Because I was driving. I couldn't do it. My wife was like, what? What am I texting you about? And I told her, and she was like, what do you want? Why is this so important? I was like, trust me, this is going to be a killer question on my podcast. Oh my God. I'm going to commit suicide. The question is, what's the best, I don't even know how to ask this. What's the best branding for a city across all sports? Do you understand the question? Which city has the best branding across all of their sports teams?
I do not want to say this. I don't want to say either of these. That's tough. So I think it's really cool when a team coordinates colors.
Yes.
Or when a city coordinates colors across teams. I think that rocks.
Yes.
So that would be like Pittsburgh or Seattle.
Yes.
Those are both, that's tough for both. I don't really love saying either of those.
Right.
But I think that's such a fun thing. Does it Dallas is, do great. That? I don't know. Dallas's teams, their branding's not that
so
exciting.
Yeah. What are they? I guess they have to take the Rangers, don't they? So no, they don't. They don't
True.
Yeah. But they should. Baseball. And I agree with you. Pittsburgh is a completely acceptable answer. I would not even determine that wrong. I do have the right answer. I'm holding on to it for a moment.
Oh, what is it?
I'm very excited to share it with you. It's not coordinated colors, but I do want to say for a moment, when you say coordinated colors, I completely support that. I think it's a great answer, and I think Pittsburgh is a fine city. Black and yellow look fantastic. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that little penguin with the hockey stick. I love that stuff. My answer is, and I thought about this, and then this begat the question that I just asked you. Toronto has phenomenal sports branding.
Okay. Hold on. I need to picture it now. We have Raptors.
Let me start with the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
I like that it's not.
It doesn't bother you that it's the Leafs?
No, I love it. I love that it's, I love the specificity of a leaf, and not just any leaf. It's a maple leaf. I love their old logos are to die for, those goddamn Leafs. Even when they went funky in the 90s and like got edgy and all that stuff, I didn't even mind it then. I just think the Toronto Maple Leafs, and by the way, there's blue, white, and then the Blue Jays do blue and white. So there is some color uniformity there. Mm-hmm. And by the by, I also want to say shout out to Blue Jays, my favorite bird of all time, a Blue Jay.
You actually don't know if I've ever seen a Blue Jay. Hold on.
Is that true?
I mean, except like as a logo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
Bird. Gorgeous. And they walk among us, Ashton. You can go out and see one right now. No, 100%. You might live in a part of the country where you don't see them a lot. But I do. I see them every day. There's one in my backyard.
Okay, what the heck am I doing? Well, obviously, I guess they're just not in the city, but I need to maybe spend some time in Central Park and see.
Let me tell you, that's crazy. When a blue jay lands by you and you look at its plumage, what a gift. That's exactly what I'm saying. And someone had the audacity, the gall to go, this should be our sport mascot. And then to have those ice cold, that baseball cap with the white crown part, and then it's blue in the back, and that bird, that profile Blue Jay logo. Oh, my God. Well, and then we haven't even talked about the Raptors. Think about their kits over the years. My God.
Yeah. And it's cool to have Raptors as a mascot. And
yes.
Yeah. I think you're onto something. I definitely agree with you.
I really appreciate it. If you want to do something in Flagrant Magazine where you say I'm right about this.
Okay.
And then maybe you interview. If you want to do that, I'm willing to do it.
Maybe a whole issue.
Do you want to do that? don't joke around. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, an entire issue.
Okay, good. I appreciate your support. It meant a lot. Yeah. I really wanted to share that with you. Okay, here we go. Let's dive back into our moment. The next credential is the test of time / devil's advocate. I'm going to do a little work here. I'm going to attack your moment. I'm going to question it by saying, in test of time, we compare this series against other series and moments like it in the games past. Clearly, there are a ton of fantastic NBA playoff series. That goes without saying. There's maybe too many. So here's the one I'm going to go and say, is this 2019 second round series against the Nuggets, is it better than the series just before it when the Blazers played Oklahoma City Thunder?
I think it is.
Wow.
But of course that shot.
Yes.
I pitched that first and your producer Jessica was like, we already did that. That was our first episode.
Episode number one.
Of course. Yeah. I get that. So I'm going to say that moment is a better moment. Okay. But the series.
Got it.
I'm going to say this is a better series.
Got it.
It felt like more of a sort of a dogfight. It felt like, it felt more electric somehow. And maybe that's just because I'm sort of like a Paul George hater. Now that's a player I don't like. And I don't even like, again, I don't have a good reason for that. Like the more I hear from him and see him, I'm like, okay, I don't hate him. But like I do. I have like no leg to stand on, but I hate him.
I get it.
So this series felt more electric. It felt more like more of a grind in a positive way, which maybe isn't like usually how you'd use grind, but it just felt more like we're neck and neck. This could go any way, shape or form. Anything can happen. It's fun to have a CJ series because Dame, it's always a Dame series. Mm-hmm, every game's a Dame series. So I would say as the series, yes, I would say. Of course, that shot is probably my greatest sports moment of all time. So if we're comparing that shot to the series, no, you're right.
It really, that moment really kind of gave birth to this entire podcast. I could literally talk and think about that shot and that moment for the rest of my life.
I need to listen to that episode because I've only listened to a couple of the episodes and I haven't listened to that one.
It probably stinks. I probably wasn't good. Our guest was good. Dragonfly Jones was fantastic. He always is. But it's that moment. I could talk about that moment forever. I will say, if you've not heard the podcast, and I know that you haven't because you just told me, I got a facial micro expressions expert to read the footage. She did not follow basketball. She did not know anything about the sport. I just showed her the footage and said to her, what are you picking up in his face? And this woman who's amazing, her name is Annie Sarnblad, and she actually gets hired by Fortune 500 companies. She gets brought into complex negotiations to sit at the table and read the faces of the people on the other side of the table and then tell the company they are lying to you. They are trying to get more money out of you. They do not want this person. How fascinating is that?
I can't believe I didn't listen to this episode yet. I should be tarred and feathered. That sounds amazing.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the chance. Here's the next burning question. We started a burning question earlier. We're coming back to it. This is a burning question / another devil's advocate here. In the 4 overtime game, does it hurt the 4 overtime game that no one at the end of regulation? At the end of the first overtime, at the end of the second overtime, at the end of the third overtime, no one hits a shot to send it to the next frame. It's always a miss or a miscue that sends it to the next frame. It's tied going in. And that's why it moves on. No one hits it to send it to the next frame. Does it hurt that at all?
It might.
Yeah.
If I'm completely honest,
I appreciate
maybe.
You being honest. It means a lot to me that you're treating me so seriously.
I haven't thought about that part of it. I think you might be right. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen,
I'm still going to put it in, but it does hurt the case.
I appreciate it. It's also interesting to think about the direction these two franchises have taken since this series.
Oof, yeah.
I don't mean to be negative, but you've already detailed what happened to the Blazers. Mm-hmm. And then as I look at this Nuggets lineup, it's Jokic, Murray, and then they had Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, and Torrey Craig. Those were the starters in the 4-overtime game.
Oh, and Millsap crushed us a couple times.
But think about that. Think about keeping Jokic and Murray and literally improving at every other, markedly improving at every other position in your starting five and on, quite frankly, on your bench as well.
Yeah.
They literally have gone to juggernaut. I think Denver is legitimately a juggernaut when they won last year, and in part because they beat my Lakers. But when they won last year, I thought, it could be 4 or 5 years of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your Blazers are
what, like 14 and
I mean, good God.
17-43, that's what we are.
Woo.
Whew. Sitting pretty in the 14 spot.
Tough little
different
branch
different
there.
Trajectories, certainly. We all have our own path in life.
Next credential, Twitter fingers. Any great tweets from this? There's one that I wanted to submit. Mm. And I believe I'm right. I actually didn't. Okay. I don't know why I didn't look this up. I just wrote this in here. Maybe I thought it would be a talking point. So if you could expound on this and make me look like I'm not lazy as a producer. Mm-hmm. Was this not the I'm trying Jennifer season?
Yes, I See? Think it was. Yes. I forgot about I'm trying Jennifer. And I have a shirt that says I'm trying Jennifer.
See, I knew that I had no doubt that you would be in love with this, with that moment. I just didn't 100% remember, but I remember thinking to myself, I think CJ played well because I think I remember seeing in the media that they were like introducing CJ to the woman and being like, this is Jennifer that you said. And I remember thinking, I think this was this because I remember thinking it was top of the mountain for CJ as well.
Yeah, when you run out of content and this transitions into a Twitter Hall of Fame podcast, that will be
for
NBA
sure.
Twitter Hall of Fame.
For
no
sure.
Question.
It's so good. And I don't know what it is about the name Jennifer and it all written out.
I
like
know.
That. It's so good.
It's so good. I mean, CJ is that kind of guy. He understands comedy. He's funny
he
as
really
hell.
Does.
I mean, some
he
of
really
his
does.
Moments are just like, I can't believe you just said that. And he really, he's not afraid to go there, as they would say.
I love that it was a reply too, that it wasn't like a retweet, like something that he was like, I need this to get out there because this is really funny. He was just replying to someone and saying, I'm trying, Jennifer. Like, also, no one read it as like snarky or mean. Everybody was like, hey, he's giving his best.
Yeah,
like, let's
he
cut
really
this guy
is.
Some slack,
I
Jennifer.
Promise.
Fantastic. Ashton, it's time for America's favorite podcast segment. It's called More Important. I'm about to ask you a series of questions. Your answer to these questions will all be the most important thing you've said during this episode. It will define who you are as a woman on this planet. Are you ready for More Important?
I guess so.
It's late. It's let me paint a picture. It's late at night. It's 10 p.m. To me, that's prime snacking hour. 10 o'clock, I'm like, God damn, I'm hungry. It's like I haven't eaten all day. 10 o'clock. It's prime snacking hour. You have $10. You can't go hog wild. You can't buy everything. You've got 10 bucks. It's 10 p.m. at night. You're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting for yourself? You are where you are. You can be in New York. You can go. You can name something specific in New York. You can go to a chain restaurant that's relatable and everyone will know. What are you eating? It's 10 o'clock at night. You've got 10 bucks.
I think I'm going to go for, there's this place called Vanessa's Dumplings. They have a couple locations. There's one in Chinatown, which is close to me.
Mm.
And they have the best dumplings. And they do, I'm vegan, so it works out for me because they have a vegan spicy beef dumpling that is so good. And I don't remember the price. I'm sure it's around $10. So I'm either going that or they have these scallion pancake sandwiches that they put tofu and veggies inside of. So I'm going to take one of those from Vanessa's Dumplings. And I know that's not relatable because it's not a chain. It's kind of boring.
It's the real answer, and I appreciate it. Vanessa's, this one's free. The next one you got to pay for. What's the best chain restaurant menu item? You're a vegan. It's going to throw this answer off.
I can answer it like I'm not.
Okay. Well, no. But I also want you to answer this honestly. What's the best chain restaurant menu item you can think of? Of all the chain restaurants in this country.
I've got to go Taco Bell. For me, it's the black bean chalupa, but any chalupa will suffice. Sure, yes. And I'll also accept a Crunchwrap.
Quote, this is the pull card. Quote, any chalupa will suffice. Unquote.
Yeah.
Little dash, Ashton Batuso. That's
It's got to be Taco Bell. Yeah. Taco Bell, no question.
Do you have a favorite name in sports? I love a good name. Do you have a favorite name in sports? Athlete name. And who sticks out?
So the first thing that comes to mind is Odyssey Sims. She plays for the Wings.
Wow.
I think Odyssey Sims is an amazing
Very
name.
Good.
Oh, you know, Angel McCautry might also be an amazing name.
That's a good
name.
One.
I'm going to say Odyssey Sims.
I want to be clear. That is a fantastic answer. It rolls off the tongue. It's fun to say Odyssey Sims.
Yeah.
I like it. I also like a short last name on the back of a jersey, particularly when you've got a long, more involved name at the top. Odyssey Sims, it's great. It really rolls together. Hats off to the people that named Odyssey Sims. No, the best name in sports is Daryl Strawberry. Can you imagine? Can you imagine,
that's
Ashton,
good.
Having on the back of your jersey?
You're
having
right.
on the back of your 80s Mets jersey with the light blue pinstripes? Can you imagine having the number 18 and then the word Strawberry written across your shoulders?
Strawberry is so good. I forgot about. I mean, I forget about baseball pretty much every day, but I forget it exists. Someone has to remind me. But yeah, Daryl Strawberry. I think I only learned who he was like probably in the last like 5 to 10 years.
I get it. You think I'm old? That's fine. That's fine. You could just say it. You could say it and not. You could say it off mic. You could have said it after we recorded, but you chose to say it right here in the heart of this episode. It is what it is. No, I get it. Then we got to move on. We got to keep going. There's a timer and the music is playing. It's the the next question is best garbage television show.
Vanderpump Rules.
It's so good. Can I be
so
clear?
Good.
Can I be clear? I wrote that thinking you might answer that. You gave me what I wanted. It is very, very good.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is very good.
And I'm not like that. I don't really watch that kind of TV. So
I don't either.
But Vanderpump, come on.
As, it really is as good as it gets. If you don't watch Vanderpump Rules, I'm telling you, curl up, grab yourself an Afghan, throw it a bowl
the
of potato chips, start at the beginning, and my guess is you'll really enjoy it. That's my answer as well. Great answer.
So that was your answer too?
It really is. To me, that is the best, for sure, the best reality show I've ever seen.
Okay, same.
All right, next question. This isn't about me. This is about Ashton. I keep railroading this. I'm sorry. The next question is the favorite or best holiday candy varietal. I realize as I'm asking you, this is another instance where I wanted to give an answer. So I'm couching
it
as
Love it.
A question that I'm asking you. I'm a terrible host.
No, that's hosting, baby. That's showbiz, baby.
I just want you to know that I bought these for my nieces and nephews. They really love them. I really love them. It's the Cadbury mini eggs for Easter.
Oh.
Wait, no, not the cream eggs, not the cream eggs.
Oh, okay.
The mini eggs, the small candy-shelled mini eggs. Do you know those? Oh, no.
Cadbury, what are they?
Cadbury mini eggs.
Oh, yeah, No, these are gross, too.
Oh, no. We had a real vibe and connection going.
Wait, is there an either or is it just that?
No, that's my answer. I bought them, I ate. I don't know, 50. I ate 50 of them before this record. I thought they were all delicious. I enjoyed the mouthfeel.
I don't like the shell. I don't know.
Oh, I think you're wrong. You should stop talking about this because you're ruining what has been a lovely time up until this moment.
I get that.
Next question, dunks or passes?
Passes.
What is your favorite pass? Do you have a No one ever answers passes. I appreciate that you answered passes. What's your favorite pass ever? Do you have one?
Any no look passes by Maureen Johannes are my favorite passes. I love her passes.
I love her.
I know. I almost wanted to say she was my favorite athlete, but I have to choose Dame. But she is an
artist of the highest order.
I know. Yeah. Love her to death. Her passes are. I think she elevated the entire W's passes this year,
totally
too.
I totally agree. And by the by, I also want to say, I believe, and I say this anytime I get the chance to talk about Maureen, I believe the league would be better if Maureen Johannes was starting on a WNBA team. So if she's not going to get full runtime with the Liberty, make her go somewhere else, league. Sometimes you need to step in and make things happen as a commissioner, and I want them to step in and give her a starting role somewhere. She deserves it.
Yep, I totally agree. Better for the league. I'm with you.
All right, here we go. Ashton, next question. Please name a celebrity you're pretty goddamn sure you'd be friends with.
I think that me and Ryan Gosling would be tight.
Got it. Why? Now, why is that?
I don't know. I've just always felt, it's not that I've been in love with him since I was a child.
Okay.
I've just always felt like, you know, he understands. Right. He knows what's up.
He's
got his finger on the pulse. He's cool. He has taste. He's funny.
Yep.
He's got the whole package.
Yeah. I get that. And Ashton, last question, more important. Nate, please name something that really kicks ass.
Yeah, that's tough. I would say something that kicks ass is when it's sunny out and it casts a shadow of trees onto the sidewalk and you're just like, you're on a walk and you've got your music playing and you're like, this is what life is about. That's what kicks ass.
I love that. And you're dancing in and out of the sunlight at times. You're getting that dappled and maybe there's a light breeze.
Yes, exactly. You get it. See?
That really makes me happy. What a joyous answer that was. I love that answer. If I'm listening, that would really make me like Ashton Batuzzo. I do believe there's some scoundrels out there that will hate you for that answer, but I loved it. I want you to know that.
Thank you.
The next credential is the cosign. Ashton, the floor is yours. Does this second round playoff series between the Blazers and Nuggets, does it belong in the first ballot Hall of Fame, and why?
It does belong in the first ballot Hall of Fame. Because it's CJ's biggest moment. Mm-hmm. It's one of the Blazers. It's everything to us. It's one of our fandom's biggest moments. We're coming off of the high of that Paul George shot, that Dame time shot, into this gritty this series we really had to grind out. It didn't come easy to us. It was an upset. I think it has all the makings of a classic, and we've got CJ, I think his game seven performance was, a franchise record for game seven. So that's like, kind of gives a little bit more ethos. I think that especially in terms of what we've been afforded as Blazers fans, this is like just so high up there that for us, it's like, this has to make it.
It's time for the induction speech. That's when I, Neil, get to decide whether this thing's going in. It is my Hall of Fame. It's mine. I'm the president and the vice president. I actually named myself the vice president.
This is like when Michael Jordan gave his speech and it was really mean to his coach or whatever. He was like, you never played me. I'm nervous.
Well, I get it. Listen, I have had a lovely time. I really have. I mean that. Mm-hmm. This has been a lot of fun. I've really appreciated meeting you. I hope that we
here comes the butt.
And that we work together in the future on something else. Maybe you come back and we do another episode.
Okay, yeah. Maybe the Blazers have another moment.
The I'm trying Jennifer really helps. Yeah. Top of the mountain for CJ, I think, is fantastic. He's a beloved NBA player. He's very funny. That this is a career moment for him means a lot. Ultimately, I have to keep the bar as high as possible for my Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God. Wait, I didn't present some of the evidence. Wait, I just remembered.
I'll give you a chance. This is very dramatic. Rob, if you can play some dramatic music. Let's see if this swings me in any way, shape, or form. This is a last ditch effort. This is, what do they call it when you're trying to get someone to not be on the death penalty and they're like, a stay of execution. That's innocent. What this is. This is a stay of execution. Let's give Ashton the floor one more time. Rob, play some music. Ashton, here we go. Any okay. last evidence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot a very important part of this because I have sort of pushed everything this player ever did out of my mind. But this series was during Ramadan, which meant our starting center, Enes Kanter, was not eating, and he had an injured shoulder.
Right.
That's a huge part of the story. Enes Kanter.
He wasn't eating food. Can you imagine? He wasn't eating food.
Yeah, and he had a hurt shoulder, and he was playing through it. This is...
And he played pretty well, for the record.
He did.
He really did. He played pretty well. Let me give you his numbers from that 4 overtime game.
Damn, I actually have them in here. I forgot because I try to forget his general
I get it. Yeah.
Career.
Enes, was he Kanter or Freedom at this time?
He was Kanter.
Okay. Enes Kanter was in the 4 overtime game, he was 8 of 16 from the floor, 1 of 1 from deep, 1 of 1 from the line. He had 15 boards. 3 mm-hmm. steals, a block, 18 points total in 56 and a half minutes on no food. That is a fantastic last detail. I really mm-hmm. appreciate you bringing it in. You are definitely making me look anti-Muslim when I say it does not move the needle. It's a great detail. I appreciate it. My hat's off to Enes Kanter/Freedom. I'm not super down with your politics, but that's neither here nor there. That means nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I appreciate how hard you played with a bad shoulder and no food in your stomach, which is insane to even think about. Mm-hmm. Hats off, but it doesn't get this moment in the first Bell Hall of Fame. And it's with respect. You have changed my opinion of this moment, of this series. I'm going to watch more of it to remember mm-hmm. it. It's just not going in the Hall of Fame right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that all right? Are we still friends?
Yes, we can still be friends. I get that. But next time I come on, you can't say no twice. Okay. I'm just going to remember that. It doesn't matter what I pick. You can't possibly do that twice.
It would be mean. It would be very mean.
Yeah.
Ashton mm-hmm. Batuso, how can people follow you? What can you plug? What are you working on?
Buy Flagrant Magazine. Yes. You can find it at flagrantmag.com, or even better, go to a Barnes & Noble and ask for it. Listen to our podcast, which is just, it's ridiculous content. And subscribe to our newsletter and follow us on all socials, Flagrant Mag, at Flagrant Mag. And that's that.
Ashton Batuso, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. What a joy.
That's it. That's the show. My thanks to Ashton Batuso. I want you to know I keep emailing Ashton about her answer for what kicks ass. Think about the sun and a nice walk and some music. And the sunlight, it's kissing your face. Throw in an ice cold beverage, perhaps a pre-made wrap from the deli. I don't do a lot of pre-made, but for some reason, pre-made in this scenario, it sounds lovely to me. I don't know. I guess the point is, she's right. That moment, it does kick ass in however you dress it. And we should appreciate moments like that in our lives more. I hope you have one today or tomorrow. Tomorrow sounds like a nice day to do it. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks again to Ms. Batuso. Robbie Bobby Robert Bob Arucci is my editor and creative partner. Jessica Tseng runs the show, and EJ Cavasal is my social producer. David Ostramskis is my Balls Life producer, and Rhythm J makes all the beats on the show. Follow him on social at Rhythm J. Rate and review us if you would, please. It would help very much. And please come back next week for more First Ballot.
I think I could cry right now, actually.